Good afternoon, Aggies and fellow listeners. I hope wherever you are, you're having a nice, wonderful, and beautiful day. It's another wonderful, beautiful day here in Logan, Cache Valley, up here at USU. Speaking of USU, you're listening to Aggie Radio. You can check them out on their Facebook page or on Aggie Radio, or their website, which is radio.usu.edu. It's great to check that out because you can see all the past shows if you haven't caught them live. There's a podcast of all the latest and greatest episodes, including our show, Mindfulness on Air. I'm Jake Grossman, and this is Mindfulness on Air. If you've been following along to the series lately, then you'll know all about it. You'll know all there is you need to know, which is mindfulness and meditation. So if you're just catching us now, you're in the right place at the right time. We do have this weekly show, and mindfulness, if you're new to that, is really just one kind of approach, one way of meditation. And so there's all different aspects, but one way is mindfulness is a way of paying attention to the present moment by using meditation, yoga, and breathing techniques. It involves consciously bringing in our awareness to our thoughts and feelings without making judgments about them. So not getting caught up in the stories we're telling ourselves and the labels. It's just really being here now, noticing life as it is happening, how full it can be, how awake and aware. And so it's a method for observing what is happening right now in our bodies, minds, and the world around us, our connections with others. And so mindfulness can really just be one small tool or a skill to help with many things and experiences we've gone through. We've talked about with stress or depression, anxiety, really any aspect of your life, it can probably help to be aware and settled. That typically does not hurt to be aware of what's happening and grounded in the present moment. But it can also be so much more. It can be a whole toolbox. It can be a whole way of relating to life, a whole way of life. And so it really helps to support all aspects of life, what you're going through, and to live in an awake, intentional, aware life. So it's really helpful because life is really only happening in the present moment. We have memories of what's gone by. We have plans, which is great to do, of what may come, what may happen. But it's really only actually unfolding right now. And so when we're too caught up in the past or the future, we're missing out life that's actually happening right now. And so once again, it's another wonderful opportunity because joining me today in the booth, we're lucky to have on Dan Judd. He's a great, wonderful friend that I'm honored to have. I'm honored to have his presence with me today and have a great conversation and kind of pick his brains and understand a little bit more insights from his practice, which has a great, great long practice he has going. I actually met him at the local Sanghas that we've talked about. Sangha is a group of meditators. So not only is there meditation here on campus that we meet every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. in the TSC, that's free and open to all, room 335, but also there's local community groups where you can go to learn meditation, learn other wisdom traditions, but also support any practice you already have. And so that's been just the catalyst for my life to unfold in many wonderful ways is by going there and meeting folks. So that's just one option. We'll talk about that more, where you can find it, more resources at the end of our show. But Dan actually, he's worked up here at USU for the Center for Persons with Disability, among many, many other things. I could go on for this entire show talking about all the good stuff and great work that Dan is doing. So welcome to the show, Dan.
Thank you. Jake, good to be here. I'm grateful, too. It's an honor.
And so one typical thing I like to start off the show with is, even though I've talked about kind of a definition, a working hypothesis of what mindfulness, or really what meditation can be or is, kind of just to pinpoint what we're talking about here, and I find it helpful to do that, but it's really much more. It can be a personal practice, a very alive practice, much more than a definition or a few words. So to help folks understand that this can be very, very dynamic. What does meditation mean to you?
Well, it means a journey. That's certain. I've been on a journey. It started clear back in 1972 and started with a book called Be Here Now by Ram Dass. And in the back of that book, there was a cookbook for a sacred life. And that got me first meditating. Just described a simple way to sit and watch your breath and pay attention to the sounds around you. So I was living in a cabin up in the mountains, and it was a delight to sit down and listen to the brook and just savor the moments up there. I went on later to investigate transcendental meditation. So in the late 70s, was initiated into that and practiced that for several years also. I did find that my own background, my LDS background, longed for more of a connection to the sacred as defined in that tradition, so particularly to Jesus Christ. And a friend introduced me to another form of meditation called passage meditation that was developed by a man named Eknath Ishran, who's well known. And I practiced that for quite a number of years, probably over a decade. And that was to memorize several important passages, such as the prayer of St. Francis in 1 Corinthians 13. And then I lost that tradition for a while and began attending the Sangha here in Logan, and that's where I was introduced to Buddhist meditation, Buddhist practices, and I'm still active LDS and attend the Sanghas and practice Buddhist meditation.
Nice. Thank you for that. That's pretty enlightening and insightful. I love how you started out with it's a journey.
Yeah,
it's a journey. Not only your life, the paths that takes, but also it can be within.
Definitely within
your own being unfolding from mm-hmm. the inside out, and that's exactly what I picture mm-hmm. as you were just explaining that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate the fact of you bringing up the different all the different aspects of your life, because one thing that I like to do on the show, and that I really hope I'm somewhat successful at, is kind of breaking down the borders, kind of shattering preconceived notions of what meditation is. So it's not, there's formal meditation where you can sit in stable postures and mm-hmm. sit silently in a cave or on retreats or even on your own, just or with a group. And those are great, great ways for formal meditation. But it's not just that.
Mm-hmm.
There's moments throughout the day. And it's also not just funny poses or for mm-hmm. certain people. And so a meditation practice, one thing I'm really getting from you is that deepened the practice you already had. So mm-hmm. there's no way
Definitely.
In conflict with it, but is also deepening it, helping you to find a greater understanding of your own self and your own practice.
Definitely. So I don't feel that anything in Buddhism and is in conflict with my LDS faith.
Perfect. That's
it supports it. The Buddha referred to as a path of virtue. And that, I'm certain that's what every LDS person is striving for also.
And
virtue
then,
garnishing their yeah. thoughts unceasingly. So how do you do that?
Yeah, and how do you put that into practice and action? And one great step, and maybe the beginning, or what kind of holds the rest of it, is that awareness, cultivating the mind. And mm-hmm. by mind is also, it's not just that meaty substance in the brain. This may not be a formal education radio show. It's talking about that being, your sense of yourself,
mm-hmm.
And that greater, your potential. And so mind is also talking about, when I'm saying cultivate the mind, it's not just sit down and think a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's cultivating the heart. It's cultivating that practice to find those skillful means to allow yourself, to give yourself that validity and nobility to unfold, and to really see that connection with others, that when we're sitting down with other people, this is a real person who is sitting in front of me, the triumphs and trials, and that there can be a real connection. And so whatever path, whatever beliefs anyone is on and feels like, that will only be enhanced when we cultivate the mind, when we sit down and take time to actually understand what's happening in this present moment, which I always say that allows for more clarity. Mm-hmm. So regardless of beliefs or the path anybody is on, it's only going to help by taking some time to really get grounded, centered in the present moment, have an open mind, so then we can see more clearly how to go about things.
You mentioned sitting down and thinking a lot. Thoughts play a huge role in the unfolding of our lives, and we don't even realize it. It's kind of like the breath. The breath goes on constantly, and we rarely notice it. Likewise, thoughts are going on, and they just tend to be ignored. We often identify with our thoughts. We think we are our thoughts, or we have to do what they tell us. So much of the practice, my experience, is becoming aware of the thoughts, watching the thoughts. And I found with passage meditation that the thoughts really directed my life. So there's the passage that I mentioned, the one that is most used in the tradition of passage meditation, is the Prayer of St. Francis. And it has a line in it that has just unfolded so tremendously in my life, and that is, O Divine Master, grant that I might not so much seek to be consoled as to consoled, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving we receive, it is in pardoning we are pardoned, it is in dying to self that we are born into eternal life. So just that, those phrases, in particular the one phrase that says, grant that I might not so much seek to be consoled as to console, has just moved my life in directions that I would have never expected. And today I'm a hospice chaplain, at least in large part, for having meditated on that passage for years.
Yeah, consoling, being that vessel.
Yeah.
Kind of that open-hearted, being there to support and be there for others.
Mm-hmm.
And actually fills you up more than worrying about, well, what if I'm always taking care of others? That actually can fill your cup,
mm-hmm,
a lot more than just worrying about what am I going to do, worrying about myself, which is still, you know, we need to take care of ourselves. But I just, that's really beautiful how you put that. You just had no idea.
Yeah.
You could have never predicted or even understood how this would have all happened, but just being open to it.
Yeah, I had a different plan for my life. And that, as that passage sank deep into my life, what emerged was the profession of being a hospice chaplain.
Which two things I really pick up on is, one, again, going back to passage meditation is a whole practice and meditation in and of itself.
Yep.
So if you're hitting those books and you're wanting to retain it, it can be just at that level.
Mm-hmm.
But then it can also sink down into more of a centered beingness if you're into more plumbing the depths of what the passage means.
Mm-hmm.
And even deeper is kind of just really embodying that. It's kind of just living that meditation.
Yeah,
that passage meditation, whether it's the literal words of the passage or just letting that open you up to life. And so that's a great, great way for many people that may want to check out passage meditation if they've already tried sitting down, and they're like, meditation is supposed to make you peaceful and relax, and that happens, that's true. but it's almost more of a side effect because we're not conditioning ourselves for our minds to be peaceful and content. We're constantly, as you were saying, thinking and can be berated by our thoughts. They can be judging. We take them to be so real, or we're not even paying attention to them. So a lot of stuff is just kind of in the background noise. So it's really not even seeing things as they are. And so it can help by, if you're struggling with that, which is a whole other talk to when we're cultivating the mind, when the thoughts keep coming, which is a natural process. But it can be helpful for those that have struggled with just sitting meditation to maybe check out passage meditation. That may be very, very helpful.
I feel that in this culture, our LDS culture, our Mormon culture, that we are led into passage meditation. So we love our scriptures, and we read them constantly. And unavoidably, there is a set of scriptures that just become our favorite. And passage meditation is simply taking the next step with those scriptures, whatever they may be, and memorizing them, and then sitting with them, sitting in quiet moments. I would always use the early morning, so 3, 4, 5 in the morning, sit down, and just in my mind, slowly go over that scripture, and it unfolds. Just it's you read it once and you get one meaning, you memorize it, you get a different meaning, you repeat it over and over, and it just opens and continues. It is, each scripture becomes a journey in itself. And like you said, Jake, so well, you begin to embody that favorite scripture. You begin to live it in your life, not just have it in your head and in your thoughts.
And so, what about, since it is passage meditation, could it be any passage?
Yeah.
What about, I'm even thinking, as you were just describing that, and in your opening up when you first got into meditation, that cabin scene, I'm even picturing like just poetry, just allowing that to sink in, and then allowing that to facilitate my connection to nature, to the woods, to the universe, to this earth that gives us so much. And then I feel the same way. You can still embody that.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually live all those processes that we're so grateful to have give us life.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you feel that way too? It could be any passage?
Yeah. And my meditation has shifted, as I mentioned. I'm doing more of the Vipassana, the awareness meditation, the mindfulness meditation that you spoke of earlier. But still in my work, I use passage meditation because I memorize poems in the form of hymns. And so there's many that as a culture, we thrive, we delight, we love our hymns. And so I will often use those as I am with LDS and other faiths. I will often use those as I'm with people who are on hospice and facing the end of their mortal life. And those bring such peace. They have such meaning beyond the music, the words, the spirit that accompanies hymns is a healing, a comforting to those people in time of need.
So it's almost like your own practice has actually reached right out and not only give you that peace of mind and comfort at that moment, being with other living beings as they're reaching the end of their lives, but it's also reaching, your very own practice is literally reaching out and comforting and bringing that meditation practice to others who are then finding that peace of mind, either because they're just settling into that moment and facing the truths of their experience that they can't get away from at that moment because that's what they're facing, or just feeling your own presence. Do you feel it's just both of those, that your meditation practice just feeds right into, I hate to say your work, because it seems more of you know, your path, your life,
mm-hmm.
and then reaching right out and helping other folks.
Yeah. It does differ from person to person, so that it's amazing to me that the way we enter this earth is so similar from person to person, but the variety of the final passage is amazing. People differ so much in how they leave this life. And so some people will find a song and it will be with them. And some people will just enjoy the moment while I'm there, that I am able to come in, and maybe it's entertainment, maybe a little bit deeper than entertainment, but it varies from every house to every room, every person, from one to the next. It's always different. But yeah, for myself, it gives an opening. It brings a feeling of love and caring that are not really from me, but through me, to the family, to the people.
Wow, and in my mind right now, I'm just thinking of all the connections that facilitates with meditation, just the variety of ways that can interact with other people's, because we may have just thought it was for relaxation,
mm-hmm.
or for de-stress, and now mm-hmm. here we are, that's literally cradling people at their end of their lives.
Beautiful.
They're ending their lives with meditation, or just with your presence and your experience of meditation. And so it's very, very broad.
Yeah. You said that one of your goals is to break down the walls, and Krishnamurti, a teacher, several decades ago in India, had the same approach, and he said that the reading is a form of meditation. So the instruction that the LDS population is given to study their scriptures daily is indeed a instruction to meditate. So in a different way, but at certainly the same level and with the same effect, daily study scripture is daily meditation. There's really no difference. The two bring the spirit in, connect us to the divine. They strengthen our resolve to live good, honest, caring lives, and have the same effect. And so the hymns I see is the same way. The hymns, it is a feathering from my passage meditation into my ministry as a hospice chaplain. It's just a feathering of one to into the other, as hymns are a form of sangha, a form of sacred gathering.
So there is a huge LDS population here, and so those that either I've ran into, or maybe you're just the thoughts come up, well, I don't meditate because that's not my religion. That sounds like a whole missed opportunity, because it'll totally support that. And nobody owns meditation. Nobody owns awareness. Nobody owns this present moment, which to me is what facilitates living life, being alive with life, this present moment. And so these are just tools. They're tools, they're techniques to help bridge that gap from being lost through our emotions or feelings or thoughts, or just
busyness.
Yeah, which none of those things are bad or horrible in and of themselves. It's good to think, but when they're ruling our lives, I've said this before, and many teachers talk about this, the mind is a wonderful worker, but it's a horrible boss.
Yeah.
And it's actually going back to what you said in the beginning, that the mind can really just drag us around.
Mm.
It can really, and then if we identify with those thoughts just because it popped into our head, we can take a moment. It's a thought. It really is. It's a thought.
Yeah.
And so it's almost the word kind of taming, because it's not control. It's not forcing. It's not getting rid. We're becoming aware of what's actually happening in the present moment. So it's just taming the mind that's kind of like a wild horse and putting it to work.
I don't have any problem with the word self-control or the idea of control.
Self-control, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it like is. Controlling those thoughts is a form of self-control, and I don't have any problem with that, that concept. Yeah, taming is a good, or observing is a good, but I'll move on, and we'll mention that we teach mindfulness and meditation, thanks to Michael Souter, who set it up in the Cache County Jail, and that's the feedback I've had from students in my classes in the Cache County Jail, is that they see that they don't have to obey their thoughts, that thoughts come up, and they don't have to do what they're being told to do through the thoughts. So that's a huge space that's opened up between identifying being controlled by your thoughts and instead looking at the possibility of controlling your thoughts.
Yeah. Or just noticing a thought pops up. I'm bored or restless. It's like, mm-hmm. There's a whole different quality to actually feeling that or to mm-hmm. noticing what's actually happening than to just be like, oh, that thought occurred. It must be true. And that's where we get into trouble a lot of times, by identifying with our thoughts, identifying with passing states, because mm-hmm. we then feel like we're lacking or like we're not enough because we have the thoughts. They're just thoughts that pop up in the mind.
A wonderful observation. So this is boring. I am bored. I am angry. There's a huge difference between that identification, I am. As soon as you put I am in front of something, there's the identification and the observation that a thought that this is boring arises, and the thought that I'm angry, the thought of anger or something that's annoying arises, instead of I am angry, I am hungry, I am...
Right. You are that actual thought.
Yeah.
And so not only is there a world of difference between just recognizing that, but also the felt quality, those mm-hmm. emotions. It's completely different to feel that hunger, to feel angry, to mm-hmm. feel happy. What's the actual felt quality from within?
Wonderful.
It's completely different than the little thought label.
Yeah.
And so they're worlds apart. So in that way, it adds richness to your life.
That's
tying
right.
this back into teaching meditation in the jail, is then that prison of your mind no longer holds you in. Is then you are free to notice that aliveness,
mm-hmm.
to notice what comes and goes,
mm-hmm.
and how you perceive your situation in the world. So many people aren't imprisoned in jail, but we act when we feel just as much of a prisoner of our own mind or of our own situation, because we've locked into that identity
mm-hmm.
or that label. And so folks, that is wonderful that there's meditation here in the jail that Dan does, but you don't have to wait. Please don't end up there, and you don't have to go there to practice meditation. You can just start anytime. Start with each moment and the breath, and there's just so much that's happening right there.
Yeah. One of the great practices is walking meditation. So there's a lot of walking that goes on if you're a student.
Yeah.
And that's an opportunity to be in the moment and to sense what's happening right now while I'm walking.
So what kind of techniques would you use? Could you unpack that a little bit for somebody who's like walking meditation? How would I try that?
Well, you start with mindfulness, you start with awareness, start with bringing attention. And usually the attention comes to whatever is the most dominant sensation. So instead of being in your head as far as a thought or thinking, what's next, what do I got to do, you bring mindfulness into the body. And if there is a sensation that's dominant, let's say it's you're walking in thin sandals and you have a real sense of pressure as you're walking and touching the earth. And so you just begin by bringing your mindfulness, your awareness, your attention to that sensation. And then you can let it grow from there. So as you come into the body and feel the sensations, one of the certain sensations will be the heart beating as you're kind of racing across camp and going faster than then maybe you should, or faster than you want to, or faster than the rest of the crowd, and you're feeling the pressure on your feet, and you're feeling your heart beating, and then your breath, and then you might feel some more external feelings, something like the wind brushing past your ears, or the softness of the wind on your skin. And you can move from each sensation to the next, being with that sensation, enjoying, as you said, savoring each moment, each sensation. Or you can even step back into a fuller awareness where you feel all these things going on at the same time. You can experiment. It's just fun to investigate the walking meditation.
Nice. And that is actually a very wonderful explanation, that to just bring that enriching, that enjoying, just that what is happening in your environment, what's going on around you. Is there a breeze? Very wonderfully put. But if you're still kind of hung up and be like, feel the sensations of walking, okay. But think about it. Think about, that may sound like really simplistic and mundane, but just for a moment, do a thought experiment. How often are you ever aware of walking? It sounds ridiculous because we do it all the time. So if you do it all the time, have you ever noticed what it actually feels like and what it actually is? How amazing that on just two legs, we keep our balance. Like one of the only species, I think the only that actually can, for long distances. Isn't that an amazing feat? And just the actual activity of walking, it's pretty amazing. Not to mention the aliveness as you're stepping, or as one teacher mentions, you know, when we're walking on the earth provides everything we have. All our food, the oxygen we breathe from the atmosphere, which comes from the plants, vice versa, the rain from the clouds that we drink, that fill our bodies. The earth provides everything. And how are we treating it as we walk around? Are we just stomping on it? Or do we massage it as we walk? And no, I'm not talking, you know, actually like stopping and massaging every step you take, but just your intention. Are we aware of how we're moving through life? And so on campus or at work or just in your daily life, shopping in the store, how much time is spent walking? A lot of our lives. And if we're not present and don't know what it feels like to actually be aware and walk, then we're not present. We're missing out a large part of our lives. So it actually makes sense. It actually makes sense to notice what's happening as it's happening, because that's a huge chunk of our lives that we're just going to check out and just say, oh, this isn't important. I'm not going to be aware right now. So it's just very interesting to look at it that way. And since you've never tried it before, you don't know what you're missing out. We don't know how incredibly complex it can be, how deep of an experience that can take you into an extraordinary content and fulfilling experience. Mm-hmm. Those sensations, the connection with the earth, just being alive and aware for once in the present moment. It's very, very deep. And so if you haven't experienced that, well, then we shouldn't be judging it anyways.
I think one of the tendencies is to discount it as another way of life, another set of practices. And I don't see it as being that separate. I feel that this is included in a Christian lifestyle. So Jesus said, I will give you life and I will give it to you more fully. And what did he mean by that? I really feel that this is the sort of thing that he meant, that he would give you the peace to savor each moment, to savor each action, to savor life and the goodness of it and the blessing that life is. So there was, I'm going to turn a little bit in that direction a little bit more. There's I studied the Be Here Now in Eastern religions before I read the New Testament with any depth at all. Of course, I was raised and went to primary and, you know, read it and did it. But then when I sat down to read it on my own, I saw so much of Jesus' life was about that, was about deep reflection, And probably most evident is it says he went into the mountains and spent the night praying. Well, I don't see him going up there and saying the kind of prayers we say typically in our services. To pray for a full night, there was a lot of listening. There's a wonderful quote about from Mother Teresa. Okay, so she was an LDS, but she's well known and well beloved. And that is, and somebody asked her what her prayers are like, and she said, she just listened.
Right.
And she said, and the interviewer said, so what's God doing while you're, and she said, I don't know, I think he's just listening too. So so there's, and that's what meditation is in the simplest effect. So you're asked to read the scriptures and ponder the scriptures and listen to the Holy Spirit as it guides you. So that is the essence of meditation. It is a way to calm the mind and to feel the Spirit and to listen to the guidance that comes.
Nice. That's such amazing stuff. It's great having you here.
Yeah, it unifies things, doesn't it?
Yeah, it totally bridges and brings together. I mean, you've already hit on multiple perspectives. Be here now, so that's a yogic tradition, mm-hmm. Eastern philosophies, Buddhism, mm-hmm. LDS, now Mother Teresa,
yeah.
and listening, active listening. I mean, so many passage meditation, so many different ways just in this one conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for you, folks. This is your own curiosity, that your own inquiring. It's your life and your mind and your path. So it's really up to you. We're just hoping to share some of experience and offer you those resources and to maybe hopefully inspire you and get you going. But really, it's about what works for you.
Spark your investigation. Finding,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is. It is having the courage to find out what works for you. So,
because it's not going to work if you don't put it to work.
That's right.
It's not, oh, Jake was on the radio and said this. That's not going to bring you any peace of mind. In fact, I'd probably bring you less peace of mind. And so it's actually implementing it and trying it out, putting it to the test, just like any other kind of experiment.
Yeah. There's one real simple practice that we've done occasionally in the Sangha. It's called the 10 breaths. And when I go out with my buddies who aren't meditators and we go out on a long run, I suggest to them that we take, instead of just running the whole way up and down and back and everything, that we take 10 breaths somewhere along our run and just stand there and breathe. Count the breaths 10 times. That's all it is. And it adds so much depth and peace and satisfaction to a trail run, to stop in a beautiful place, stop with the full moon in view, which I did recently, out on the horizon looking over the valley, and count 10 breaths. And it's just a simple, wonderful way to stop and settle and enjoy.
Nice. So I want to just thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sharing your insights and your presence. Before I let you go, though, we're going to talk about some places to practice and things you have. What do you have coming up?
Well, our former mayor, Doug Thompson, is the bishop of a young single adult ward. And last year, about this time, maybe it was a little later, he invited me to come and do a short instruction on meditation. And he's asked me again, October 5th, I'll be with the young single adult ward. You know who you are if you're in Doug Thompson's ward. I'll come and be with you. And what I will do is not some far out crazy meditation, but I'm just going to suggest that we bring into our minds, and we can, I'll have a written copy there, or you can memorize the sacrament prayer for the bread, and we will meditate on that. And it's a practice that I use week after week on Sundays to deepen my experience of the sacrament. So that will be October 5th at 7:00 in what they call the Purple Driveway Chapel, which is named that because the house with the purple driveway is directly south of the entrance. So
nice. So there's a place to check it out if that sounds interesting and think that suits you, or if you just want to bring that whole other aspect or diversity into your life and use meditation in that way. So that's an awesome resource. There's also the local sanghas here in Cache Valley that meet at the Unitarian Church House Monday 7 p.m. and also yogic sangha Wednesdays 7 p.m. in the Unitarian Church House. All that information is on our webpage. That you can always email us if you don't have an A number. You can always email us usumeditationclub@gmail. That's usumeditationclub@gmail. We can send you any resources that you're interested in. Those that are students or have an A number on your MyUSU homepage. When you're on your homepage, you can check the bottom left or the top left. It says My Communities. When you view communities, that brings up the page of all the other clubs and organizations on USU. You can scroll down to USU Meditation Club on the right. It'll say Join. So then you can open up the file that's next to Meditation Club. When you're in that window, that'll lead you right there. Many, many resources, like I said, that'll talk about the different groups in the valley. That'll give you different techniques and traditions. Teachers passing through, upcoming retreats, guided meditations, online resources, scientific papers, all sorts of great stuff that's available there. That's all free and offered open-handedly. And once again, there's meditation, more of a secular approach in the mindfulness tradition, or Vipassana or insight, if you will, that meets here on campus Wednesdays from 1 to 2 in the TSC, room 335. However, folks, if you can't make it to any of those, we do have this radio show with all the great recorded podcasts, if you've missed any, that are on Aggie Radio, or you can email us for the link that'll go straight to the webpage. But even in the meantime, even better than taking our word for it, than reading the literature, if you can't make it to those meetings or you just wanted to check it out, we can take this moment right now to investigate with clarity, with an open mind, just curiosity, to bring ourselves into this present moment. So you don't necessarily have to change what you're doing. Just notice what's going on around you. You're listening, so there's a sound, a voice, people talking, people walking. Do you hear birds chirping or cars going by? Maybe you're typing, computer, keyboard clicking. So no need to name or figure out where it's coming from. Just notice what's going on around you. How wonderful it is to have eyes to see. You can continue to practice with your eyes open if you need to. Or if you want to go within, you can close them or just soften the gaze. Notice your posture. Are you slumped, hunched over, studying, washing dishes, or working? Just become aware of your posture and allow that to settle into the body. This body does so much for us. How often do we pay attention to it, unless it's a negative aspect? But what about all the positive things that are in our lives? Take a moment to just breathe. Fill the lungs. Expand as you breathe in, letting go of any tension or worries as you breathe out. So feel the aliveness, the sensations as you breathe in, releasing the toxins, the physical tension, the stress as you breathe out. Just allow that breath to be an energy that with each inhale goes down the organs, the spine, relaxing the shoulders as you breathe out. Breathing in between the shoulder blades. Relaxing the shoulders down and back. Feel as though you're actually breathing through your shoulders, through the neck. Just any tension, any solid areas, allow that to soften, to open up. You can also become aware of our palms. Feel the sensations in your palms, tingling, numbness, vibrating, pulsing. Just allow them to relax as if the breath is coming in through your shoulders, down and out your arms, exiting through the palms. And also allow your belly, become aware of the belly, allow it to soften, releasing the tension there. Feel the breath moving through the stomach, relaxing, releasing. And just for a moment, if you can, see what it feels like to hold all areas in mind, the palms, belly, shoulders. What does it feel like to sense all three areas at once? Just allow your awareness, those sensations, the breath, to spread to the top of your head, to your feet. Feel as if each inhale, the oxygen goes through all areas of your body. And it does. The oxygen goes through the lungs, pumped from the heart, through the blood system, through all areas of your body is nourished by blood. And so that carries the oxygen atoms made entirely, almost entirely of space. So your entire body is made up of basically space. If you can, just notice what it feels like for the whole body to breathe, coming in and exiting every pore. Not resisting, not forcing. You can just allow the breath to flow through you, just as life flows through you. You can take a moment, or as long as you'd like, to continue to really sink into this moment, to sink into what's actually happening, to embody it, how rejuvenating it can be, or savoring it, as Dan has mentioned. And this practice you can do anywhere, anytime, to bring our awareness back to the breath, back to the body, to this moment. So as one of my favorite teachers always says, when people tell me they don't have time to breathe, he always says, or when people say they don't have time to meditate, he says, if you have time to breathe, you have time to meditate. If you have time to read, you have time to meditate. Or walking, you have time to meditate. So once again, it's just bringing this awareness, this quality of awareness, this aliveness, becoming mindful and living an aware, awake, and intentional life. And then noticing the impact that has on yourself or your relations with others, the impact that you have on the earth. And then you can just investigate it and make it your own. It's kind of like following a recipe, but then you just turn it into your own after a while. So folks, I appreciate you hanging in there and listening. Once again, this is Jake Grossman, and this has been Mindfulness on Air. You're listening to Aggie Radio. Everybody, weekend's almost here, so enjoy, but stay safe and be mindful. Have a good one, everybody.